Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by DraftKings.com. Here's the deal. We got a free tournament for you to get yourself pumped for the U.S. Open. So you go to DraftKings.com. All you got to do, pick six players, six golfers, and you'll be set to play. Use promo code PMT. That's promo code PMT at DraftKings.com now and play for free with your first deposit in the $500,000 fantasy golf contest. Top prize is 50 grand. Code is PMT to play for free. And the best part about it is you do it this weekend, you get your feet wet, you feel it, you know how you play in your fantasy golf on DraftKings, you're feeling a little confident, maybe win some money. Next weekend, U.S. Open is here. You're all set to go. You know how to do it. You know what you're doing. And this is what you do. So the golf is DraftKings.com, and you put in the promo code PMT. Do it right now. We also have this week, Pardon My Take was brought to you by Blue Apron. You get two free meals if you go to blueapron.com/pardon. Casper, you get $50 off your mattress if you go to casper.com/take. And BetDSI, you get a $10 free play with the promo code TAKE10. Hit all of those places up. Get some free stuff. Get some discounts. Make us rich. We're all happy. Let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. It is Friday, June 10th. The Pittsburgh Penguins are your Stanley Cup champions. Let me just say, though, they might not be. So it's a little choose your adventure here. The deal is I'm in a live show Thursday night. Hank is going to be with me. We're in New York City for KFC Radio. So we can't actually watch the game, and we can't tape it after the game, the show that we usually tape. We usually tape, Pardon My Take, after the game. So this is choose your own adventure. If the Penguins did win, we're about to talk about them winning the Stanley Cup right now. If they didn't win, fast forward and we'll talk about them not winning the Stanley Cup. So, hey, congrats to Pittsburgh, right?
They are probably the softest team to ever win a Stanley Cup. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, Phil Kessel kind of takes it away. Phil Kessel winning the Stanley Cup is worth everything. Sidney Crosby can win it if that means Phil Kessel gets to hoist it.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Kessel winning, but I'm just saying, like, anytime something good happens in sports, you have to compare it to everything else that's ever happened in sports.
Right.
So, like, these Pittsburgh Penguins, I don't think that they would stand a chance against the Penguins of, like, the mid-90s.
That's fair. Everyone, I think we can all agree on that.
I think that this Pittsburgh Penguin team is probably the worst team to ever win a Stanley Cup.
Okay. And we don't even know if they won it.
that's how bad they are, that we have no confidence that they're going to win.
Every time the Stanley Cup champion is crowned, it reminds me that it is the greatest trophy in all of sports, and it's not even close. If every single trophy you should be able to drink out of. It's so silly that, like, the Lombardi Trophy, the Larry O'Brien Trophy, whatever they call the World Series, Cubs, we don't know what that's called.
The thing with the flags all over it.
Yeah, awful. The Stanley Cup.
You can do heroin out of the MLB Trophy, I think. Like, those spikes, I think you can actually shoot up with those.
If a trophy, like, is something that you could trip and really hurt yourself by, like, falling on, that's not a good trophy.
Would be a pretty cool way to go out, though, like impaling yourself.
Speared by the MLB, World Series trophy.
But I'll agree with you on that one. I think that the point of a trophy is to have something that you can fill up with, like, cheap liquor and just, like, get sloshed out of your mind. I'm sick of hockey putting on airs and pretending that they're too big to let the players drink out of the cup on the ice. Ooh. Like, I think
they do it in the locker room, though.
Yeah, but there should be, like, a couple racks of Molson that get wheeled out there. Fill that thing up. You know, all the guys want to.
Yeah. They're hockey guys.
So who do you think is going to be the one that cries first? Is it going to be Kessel?
Kessel doesn't seem like a crier. I think Crosby might have a few tears.
No,
or Crosby. Whatever Penguins player has gone through. I mean, there's got to be a Penguins player that, like, either broke his leg last year or, you know, no one believed in him. He was sent down to the minors. That guy is going to cry. That's
guy who's done so much Adderall that, like, his heart's about to explode, but it was all worth it. That guy, yeah.
He can't control his emotions anymore.
Well, he's got amphetamine-induced psychosis at this point. Yeah, that guy.
Phil Kessel, though, you think he eats now. If he's a Stanley Cup champion, I mean, you can eat whatever you want for the rest of the summer.
All bets are off. Yeah.
Like,
you've earned.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate. Like, you know how when you get back from, if you ever go on a vacation that you've dieted for, and then you get back afterwards and you're just like, fuck it. Like, I don't have to go on a vacation for another year.
I don't have to take my shirt off for a while. Right.
Yeah. That's what Phil Kessel is going to be doing. Like, Phil Kessel actually might fill the Stanley Cup with queso.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if that was a story that came out in a couple months. Or, like I said, just some hot dogs. Like some good old hot dog water and some boiled hot dogs.
He'll just light a fire underneath the cup and just turn it into a cooking utensil. Yeah, I can see that. So they're still doing the thing where they engrave everybody's name, right?
Yeah, and it actually is some front office people. I'm not going to lie. I thought I had a chance to get my name on the cup a couple times. Didn't work out for me. I looked for it when the Blackhawks won last year. I looked for my name. Wasn't there, but that's okay.
Well, that's what I like about hockey. They don't do the thing where the guy that's been on the team for a long time but is no longer on the roster, that guy's name doesn't get on the same. Like, you know how in baseball they give you a ring? They give Frank Thomas a ring or whatever.
Right.
They're not going to put your name on that cup unless you're on the official roster. So, like, it's the only trophy in sports that I think is not a participation trophy to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, that you can't really disagree with that.
No,
I do think that we need a full, like, 24/7. You know, when a bald eagle is ready to have a baby or something, we need that cam on Phil Kessel for the rest of the summer.
That'd be nice. Like a little GoPro on his chest.
Yeah. Just tell us where he is at all times.
I was going to say drill a little hole in the bottom of the cup and then put a GoPro lens in there. And then just, like, do that for one summer. And then you end up with, like, a kick-ass time-lapse video of, like, everything that cup has seen over the summer. That'd be pretty cool.
The guy who – the keeper of the cup has seen some shit. He goes to all the parties. So I've partied with – not to brag. I've partied with the cup a couple times. He goes to all the parties. He just has to stand in the corner and not drink. It's very awkward for him.
Now, tell me what the keeper of the cup is, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there.
He's a guy who just walks around with white gloves, and he looks really weird, and he's the one who has to, like, keep control of the cup at all times. He has his eyes on the cup, and the cup has a curfew. People don't realize this. Cup goes home at like 11:30 at night.
Cam Newton could learn a lot from the Stanley Cup about how to conduct himself professionally. I think. But seriously, is this dude? Is he like? Is this an all summer thing that he does?
Yeah, no, it's his full time job. And then in the off season, during the actual NHL season, he goes around to a bunch of places with the cup. But yeah, this is his full time job. He is the keeper of the cup.
How do you get that job?
I don't know, but it's sweet. He's the one who brings it out. He walks it out. So it
seems like that's a job you got to kill somebody to get.
Yeah,
because the person that has that isn't quitting. They're not retiring.
Yeah, exactly. Other sports. Well, let me just say, if the Penguins didn't win, I can't wait for Game 6. So there's your
choose
your adventure.
Start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's restart.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the San Jose Sharks. We always knew Sharks eat Penguins. They're still in it. And looks like we've got ourselves a series, guys.
Yeah, Game 6, here we come. Way to persevere and stay tough, Sharks. Love you guys.
A lot of people were saying that maybe Thornton's beard was getting too big. Like, maybe it was time to trim it up because it was impacting his play. Those guys just don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're not hockey guys. Your powers get stronger the bigger your beard gets.
That's a fact.
So take a lap, all you hockey idiots
you,
out there that want to
hosers,
shape.
You hosers and pigeons. All right,
those out.
Let's go to NBA. Is Steph Curry injured again?
I think that here's my hot take. I think that Steph Curry, he got hurt and he got put on some pain medicine, which kind of did him some good for the first few weeks. Now he's off the pain medicine. He's off the Vicodin and he's addicted to opioids now. And so like he can't,
he's
shaking.
Vicious hangover.
He can't find his stroke because his arms are shaking. You can't get beef. When your elbows like oscillating back and forth like a dirty compass or something, you know?
I do like that Steph Curry's never outright said that he is injured. It's just something, it's a narrative. It's our famous narratives that go around the country. But now every time he has a bad game, because Steph Curry is so amazing and he scores at will whenever he wants, if he has a bad game, it's like, oh, Steph Curry's injured.
It's like something must be wrong. Yeah. Because there's no way that this guy would normally
Cleveland could play defense for a night on Steph Curry. He must be injured.
It's like, I mean, a great comparison would be to talk about my Blue Apron ad read that I did last show. Don't and people make were us like, something's got to be wrong with PFT. He's normally A+ on these ad reads, and this one's dragging on for like 3 minutes. So, like, I feel how Steph Curry must feel right now. But the bottom line is, if you get hurt in professional athletes or professional athletics, you have to decline the opioid treatment. You go for just your standard, your ice, your ibuprofen, your elevation. Curry's big mistake was taking pain medicine.
Do you think, well, this is by far the worst finals so far. Every single game has been a blowout. Do you actually think the Cavs are back in this series?
Like I said, the series hasn't started yet.
Right.
Okay,
let's do real talk for a second. Do you think the Cavs have a chance?
No. No, they don't. They're going to lose in six.
That's what I think. I think they're going to win game four, and I think we're going to get another David Stern treatment where they'll get some calls, and game five and six, the Warriors will punish them.
Back up for a second. We're going to get another David Stern treatment.
Yeah.
So are you saying that last night's game was a classic David Stern treatment game?
I didn't watch the game, so I don't know, but I'm sure it was.
Well, neither did I, but I did look at the final score.
Number one podcast. Here we go. Sports podcast. We're not watching the games. I had meetings, so yeah.
Yeah, I had stuff to do. Yeah. besides watching the NBA. But the thing is, they won by 30 points.
Yeah.
So they
wasted their David Stern night.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But so you think they're going to get another one of those next game.
Yeah.
And then after that, the refs will just be like, we're not doing your bidding anymore.
Right,
and
right.
Don't the universe will restore itself to natural order. Right.
What did you think? Did you see the clip of Draymond Green smiling with the fan after? Kind of. I mean, I don't like my sports guys. I don't like them smiling after a loss. Like, they need to be just as mad as I am. They need to kick some things. They need to maybe, you know, get too drunk, throw things at the camera. Or, I mean, the TV. Maybe, I don't know, piss off their wife.
But don't do too much. Like, don't act like a thug. But, like, maybe try to break something, but maybe not really break it.
But seriously, people were very upset about that. You can't smile after a loss.
Yeah, I go back and forth with how to feel about that, because on one hand, he was trying to get laid, and I respect that.
Yep.
Trying to get some strange out of town.
Game never sleeps.
Maybe he was a slump buster. We talked about Harambe being a slump buster the other day. Like, maybe he was just trying to shake it up, see if there's something new he could try. But on the other hand, it's like, yeah, if you're a fan watching that game, if you're a Golden State fan, you're beside yourself. You're livid.
Yeah. I mean, you probably have the tag still on your shirt from the new shirt you bought because you just became a fan this year, but you're still pretty pissed.
But you're so pissed off that guy doesn't have the same level of fandom as you do. Now, that would be interesting. Wouldn't it to see like a player who was as big a fan of his own team as like a diehard fan?
I mean, Joakim Noah kind of was. For a while there. It was great. He was, just as mad as the fans, if not more mad.
Yeah, I like that about him too. Like, there are very few things that I like about Joakim Noah, and that is really the only one. I wish more players were like that, just because I'm a chaos guy. I want to see more chaos. It leads itself to more fights, leads itself to more like screaming matches with coaches. You know what I would love? I would love to see more players call into sports talk radio, like as a fan, and just be like, this coach sucks. He's a bum. Get him out of town. That sort of thing. I would like what professional athlete do you think is most likely to call into sports talk radio?
Someone did. Didn't the player call in recently? Who called in? Hank is sitting next to me. I can't remember. There was a player who did that once and pretended to be someone else, and then they're like, I think you sound a lot like this guy. We'll look it up.
People did Donald Trump.
Quickly to wrap up, I have a quick game three or game four preview for you. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If Steph and Clay don't have big games in game four, there's no way they can win in Cleveland, and the series will go back to Golden State tied 2-2.
That would be a good for Magic.
That would be our good friend Magic. He is saying that the two best players on the Warriors need to play well for them to win a game in the finals.
I've got a quick journalism tip here, and I don't know if you saw the post-game press conference where that one dude from – he was like from radio, television, Hong Kong. He asked a question to Kyrie, JR, and LeBron, and he started out by saying, so it looks like that you guys froze the pond on the Splash Brothers. How do you think that you'll continue to do that? And that guy is an idiot because he gave away an awesome column because he wanted to sound cute in his question.
Right.
Like he
that's that a great guy, lead. The Splash Brothers pond is frozen.
That guy, and now he can't go back and use that. Like that right. was not only did you get made fun of for just like acting like a twerp in front of the entire NBA press corps, but you also just ruined your whole column and gave away what everybody probably would have stood on the table and clapped for. So never do that.
Those are ones you want to keep. All right. We have two guests today. We're going to go back to back for everyone. We have the White Randy Moss first talking about Belmont. He is our friend. He's been through, he's given us previews of all three, the Triple Crown races. He is right on the money. Great interview. Then we have America's lawyer, Mike Portnoy, who talked us through some legal things that we're thinking about. We're thinking about cease and desisting basically the entire internet. And Mike Portnoy, I think we're going to hire him. Like I think we're going to put him on retainer. So I don't know who's going to pay for it, but we're going to put him on retainer. So back-to-back interviews, here they come. All right, we now welcome on America's lawyer, our legal analyst, Mr. Portnoy. Mr. Portnoy, it's been a few weeks. We miss you. Thank you for coming back on.
Good morning.
Before we get into legal stuff, I was at your son's house in New York yesterday. Have you been able to visit it yet?
No.
That's too bad. It's a nice place.
I have not been invited, and I don't go where I'm not invited.
Good answer. Okay. All right. Let's get into the nitty-gritty here. We have some issues.
All right.
People are starting to steal our bits. So Rich Eisen did the where he called someone on his phone bit. His and Hers, the ESPN show, we stole their Dunner Finish bit, and then they stole it back from us.
Well, I'd like to clarify here on the His and Hers situation, because the all are y'all done or are y'all finished, that came from Birdman, apparently.
Okay.
So Birdman said that on a morning show. And then
I have
his
no
and
idea
hers
what you're
it.
Talking about already, but
we're
going
to get there. Okay. We'll get to the point. We're just going to.
So basically, we saw a TV show that said, are the Warriors done or are they finished? And so then we kind of stole that from ESPN, but now ESPN's stealing it back from us after we made it. Like, ESPN invented it, but we made it. You know what I'm saying?
We made it pop.
We grew it. And so now they're taking it back. And we want to know, like, is there any legal recourse that we have against ESPN for stealing our bits?
Let me ask you a question. Again, I'm going to go back to before the internet was born.
Yep.
If you stole my bicycle,
Okay,
and then I stole it back from you.
Yep.
Am I responsible? Can I be held liable for that, for stealing the bicycle?
Okay. What about squatter's rights?
On the bicycle?
Yeah.
I don't think you. Once you steal something from someone, think about this. Isn't this what the O.J. Simpson case is all about? That's why he's in jail.
I think it's about murder, but.
No, it's about his Heisman. Yeah.
What that was all about was he was trying to get back his Heisman trophy, and he said it was stolen from him, so he went to steal it back. And by the way, during the course of that, they apparently pulled out automatic weapons, and that made the whole thing pretty problematic.
Okay.
So what I'm hearing is that ESPN is legally responsible for stealing our bit.
Irresponsible or responsible?
Irresponsible and responsible. As long as we don't pull out guns, we can't be charged with anything.
Okay.
So
again,
I'm
putting in my disclaimer a little late today, but I'm going.
Here's my point is Hound Dog was originally sung by Big Mama Thornton.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
And then Elvis made it famous.
Right.
But then if somebody had then like stolen the Hound Dog from Elvis, then everybody would be like, yo, you ripped that off Elvis. And that's pretty much what's going on. Like, ESPN is the technically they sang Hound Dog originally, but we did it better. So I feel like if you do something a lot better than somebody else, then it becomes yours.
Right. I wonder if I you know, you bring up these things, which I obviously have given absolutely no thought to. The Hound Dog example, he even back then, I would surmise that he didn't use that song without somehow having to pay tribute one way or another to the original owner, the person that wrote the song.
Yeah.
Even back then, that stuff, I assume, was all copyrighted. And
it was before the internet existed, though. It was before the internet existed.
That has absolutely nothing to do with it.
But you said that.
Neither here nor.
Okay.
I mean, I assume that song, you're right, someone else, what was her name? The original person that.
Big Mama. I think her name was
Bang Song. Right. And I don't know if she wrote it, but whoever wrote the song, that was probably all copyrighted. And I don't believe even back then he could just use the song and make it his own without having to somehow, pay tribute to the person that wrote the song, the person that sang the song.
Right. On the internet, we do that
with what we're talking about.
Yeah. On the internet, we call that a hat tip. So as long as you give somebody a hat tip, then you can steal all their shit and it's totally above board. So
that, did you just make that up?
No, that's real. That's a law. It's internet law. Yeah. You just do HT and you can honestly take anything. Or if you want to if you want to take someone's tweet, you just say who did.
You're making this up.
No, I'm telling you, this is internet law. You just say who did this, fam, and you can steal someone's tweet. And that is like basically saying like, oh, I don't actually know who did this, even though you see like the name right there.
Right, like Stevie Ray Vaughan could have just stolen Robert Johnson's songs as long as like the first lyric on his first song of the album was like hat tip Robert Johnson.
Or who did this, fam,
yeah.
Then gets into the song.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking do we lose speaking. You? Do we lose you?
I'm still here. I'm
okay, so
you're throwing. I'm doubting in there. I think you're just yanking my chain.
No, we're like
so
this.
When we get off the phone, if I Google hat tip,
well, okay, all right. So you
ask
got
your
us
son.
On that.
Your son knows what hat tip means.
Okay, so all right. So this is actually a good.
I thought
question.
I was going to be able to talk to him today. You're not there anymore.
No, we're going to be there later. I'm going to call. I'll call you later. Yeah,
tell him I said hello.
Hank, we got Hank Googling it right now. It says that you can...
what's that?
Hank
you
is,
cut out on me there.
Hank is Googling hat tip right now. He says that it is law. Like, you can Google it and you'll see it.
Okay.
It's... Now, okay, so it's not law.
What about like, a tip of the hat? Wait a minute. What about, you know...
No.
That's pre-internet. Very,
you I'm going to give you a tip of my code hat, no?
Or else it doesn't count.
Okay.
That's pre-internet.
I still don't... And I don't believe what you just said about Hank either. I don't think he Googled it at all.
I actually... You know what? He's sitting behind me, and I agree with you on that one. I think he's just looking at his phone and his text messages.
I mean, they do that all the time. Oh, I just Googled it. And nobody Googled it.
So we've got our answer
that's
on
just
the
to throw me off the. That's just to throw me off the track entirely.
What about the fact that Rich Eisen is, like, blatantly stealing our shit and not crediting us for it? Because we invented the who's the most famous person on your phone you want to call them thing during interviews.
We do a bit where we have guests on and we ask them who the most famous person in their phone is. And then when they answer, we say, oh, you want to call them right now. Rich Eisen has started to do that. Can we cease and desist him?
Well, I think so. Why not?
Oh, this is first
you have
time.
You have some of those in your drawer somewhere, some extra cease and desist.
I can whip one up really, really quick.
I know you can.
I got one in my fist, little knuckle sandwich.
Yeah, why not?
So when I send it to Rich, do I have to tell him that he got served, or is like he just going to know he got served when he reads it?
Say that again. You're breaking up on me a little bit here. What did you just say?
When I send the cease and desist, honestly, I'm probably just going to tweet it at him. But when I do I have to say you got served to Rich, or do I have to like let everybody else that sees that like just some guy on Twitter be like, oh shit, Rich, you just got served.
Yeah, it sounds like a good way to do it.
Okay, we'll leave
that
up to
you. Don't even tell him. Just put it out there. Put it out there in the ether, as they say. And sooner or later, he'll know.
But yeah. It brings up a good question. Like, are bits copyrighted? Is that my intellectual property?
This will be the first really good question. Go on. are bits copyrighted?
Yeah.
Well, you know something? What this really goes back to is I've forever heard comedians way beyond your time. Way before your time, comedians complaining about their bits being stolen. And right. I actually think, in the back of my mind, there have been lawsuits brought by people like, you know, people in the entertainment industry, comedians and whatnot, bringing lawsuits saying you've stolen my bit. I believe that has happened. Hank, Google that.
Hank, Google it. He's Googling it.
See?
Okay.
Comedians bringing lawsuits for stealing their act, in effect.
So an actual lawsuit, not just like internet street justice.
Not the kind we talk about, no.
Okay.
But actual lawsuits.
So we actually might hire you now.
I don't know if I'm interested in that, but go on.
To sue
I like
people.
The way we're doing. I like the way we're doing where I'm not getting paid and nobody can play.
True.
And they're not getting their money's worth.
There's one other issue I want to talk about with you here, and that's the fact that somebody has started to impersonate you on Twitter. How do you feel about that?
Not good. I'm unaware of that. What do you mean by impersonate me?
I don't want to give the account too much credit, but there is a Mike Portnoy Esquire on Twitter.
That's me.
Yeah.
No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, he's on Twitter and he's impersonating you. So if we want to, let us know if you want us to cease and desist him.
You got an extra one there?
We have many. I told you, send one to him too.
Send one to him too.
There's no show of lawsuits in the Wikipedia about comedians stealing other comedians' bits. So we will be the first, and it will be like Brown versus Board of Education, Roe v. Wade, Pardon My Take versus Rich Eisen trying to steal our. Call a famous person Ben.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When we get off the phone, not that I think that you didn't give me accurate information, I'm going to research that a little bit just for my own knowledge. I vaguely remember there was some kind of a action brought. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm dreaming this again. That some kind of a comedian sued another comedian. You either one of you remember who Milton Berle was?
Yes, yeah. He had a huge hog.
Yep.
Yeah. Do we again? You broke up. I know what you said in the city. I didn't hear the rest of it, but that's the truth. You broke up just on the second part of that phrase, but I know exactly what you were saying. and he used to be accused of that constantly about stealing other people's material.
That's a classic move, a guy with a big dick, just stealing everyone's stuff and being like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So this really begs the question, like, wouldn't you say that every preacher in America is just stealing Jesus' bit every Sunday?
Brain buster.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here. I think we're getting a little far afield from talking about Milton Berle.
Jesus could be like, hey, that love thy neighbor, that's my shit. You're stealing it. Like, I did that 2,000 years ago.
Use a hat tip. Say who did this, fam, before you throw that out there.
Yeah.
All right. I actually have a...
Do you realize that I'm not of that faith, so you're now really going into areas that I'm totally unfamiliar with.
Just hat tip, Council of Nicaea. That's it.
Say that again?
All the preachers have to say is just hat tip, Council of Nicaea, if I understand your legal advice correctly.
Yeah. I agree with that. Putting another disclaimer in here.
All right. Thank you as always. It's always fun. We appreciate it. And please, I know you're
take care of that guy. Take care of that guy that's passing himself off as me. I don't like that.
Yeah,
we will.
We're going to take care of that. And then you get back to me about the comedian lawsuit so we can get into that.
I'm going to check that.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks so much. All right.
Bye-bye.
And now for something completely different. All right, we now welcome on our horse racing expert, friend of the program, the original Randy Moss, a.k.a. the white Randy Moss. I'm going to start, before we get to the horse racing, I want to start with an idea that I had just popped in my head. Moss on Moss, you and Randy Moss, we put you on the top of a hill, you guys roll down the hill, you get really dizzy, and then you give your NFL picks.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm game.
So that
something
so
about
right.
like a rolling moss gathers no stones or something like that. Just like spitballing here.
Yeah,
it works for me because sometimes I'll just go to the top of a hill and roll down it just for the hell of it. If I can do it and actually get something accomplished out of it, okay, I'm all in.
I'm a man of ideas. I think that one's a winner.
I've noticed that you are a man of ideas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Not to brag, right. But thank you.
Bob, one more thing. The only horse racing experts have four legs, by the way. I just want to get that out there before we get going.
Is that a saying around the track?
That's my saying. No. That's
that
my
sounds
saying
like a t-shirt.
I like that. All right. So the Preakness, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. You were the only one on that I saw who had the correct pick on the last race. You had Exaggerator beating Nyquist. It was a hell of a race. You also, I think, hit like every trifecta at the end of the day. Since the Preakness, though, Nyquist has had a little bit of a, you know, fall from grace here. We've had a run-in on Twitter with him. What do you say about Nyquist? Yeah. So PFT will tell you about that, but what about the health of Nyquist first?
I think he's pretty healthy. He's okay. I mean, what happens a lot of times when these horses have real big races, real strenuous races, it'll take him a little bit to bounce back from it occasionally. In his case, there was like some sort of infection involved, and they had to give him antibiotics, and that can throw a horse for a loop. So it was a little bit on the edge to bring him back to run him in the Belmont anyway. They were going to do it, but then when that happened, it was an easy decision for him to pull the plug. But he'll be running again this summer, hopefully.
Does a horse ever fake it?
Sometimes.
Whoa.
Sometimes. I had a dog one time that faked a limp. Like, would that ever happen to Nyquist after winning a big race?
One of the toughest things about being a horse trainer, and Wayne Lucas, the one of the all-time great horse trainers, told me this, is that the better the horse is, the harder they are to read. Okay, it's like just think NFL. All the great NFL athletes, let's say Odell Beckham, they always make it look easy. You watch him play, and you're like, "Wow, that looks so easy. He's so smooth. He's so graceful. You know, he's just such an incredible athlete. He makes it look easy." Well, the best horses make it look easy too. So it's difficult to look at a horse, let's say even Exaggerator, after the Kentucky Derby, after the Preakness. It's difficult for the trainer to look at him and say, "Wow, I wonder how much energy he's got left. I wonder if the Preakness took too much out of him," because the best horses they're always eager. They always want to go out there and they're enthusiastic about doing their job. They always look fantastic, but then you don't know until they get to the top of the stretch in the Belmont, let's say, how much the Derby and the Preakness took out of them. So sometimes if that's faking it, I mean, I guess that might qualify, but they are difficult.
Sounds like
to
he's faking
sometimes.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Faker.
So, yeah, we did run into a little bit of a thing with Nyquist, the horse. I don't know if you saw, he had a Twitter account. He got verified, and we invited the horse to come on the podcast. Yeah. And the horse told us to talk to his publicist. And after that, it kind of got under our skin a little bit. And there were a lot of allegations that Nyquist was putting on a lot of weight, that he had let success go to his head. He was a bit of a diva. And we found a couple pictures of Nyquist that looked like he had put on, you know, a couple pounds around the midsection. And Nyquist, I guess, felt bullied by those allegations. And so he deleted his Twitter account. I was wondering if you had a chance to get a comment from the horse about that.
I have not, but I will. Will you send me those pictures? You know, that sounds kind of diva-esque to me too.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that.
That's not a good sign for old.
We'll get you those pictures.
Yeah, we'll get
you
those.
Okay, yeah, I want to see those.
All right. So here's a question for you. The Preakness. There were unfortunately two deaths at the Preakness, two horses. So it became a national discussion for a few minutes. People love to make national discussions outside the lines, talk about the health of everything. Epidemics in this country. concussions, horses dying, dabbing. Rank them.
Well, in terms of significance, I think concussions have to be first, because you're talking about, I don't want to sound callous, I'm an animal lover, but when you're talking about the health of young people, humans, progressive brain diseases, et cetera, I think that's got to be at the top of the list.
Sounds like a guy who was happy that Harambe got shot.
No.
Okay.
But I do. I mean, you have to be sensible about about that whole stuff, you know. And I, you know, let's put the horses next, because it is a serious deal, and it's something that the racing industry has worked hard at trying to minimize. There's no way to completely minimize it in horse racing. Just as there's no way to minimize it if you would turn horses out into a beautiful, lovely green meadow pasture and let them lead this idyllic lifestyle, and they're going to be running free, and then occasionally they're going to step in a hole and they're going to get hurt.
So it's almost like horse racing safer.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's safer, but those kind of things are impossible to completely do away with, as much energy as the industry might put into it. So it's the sad part about it is that it they're beautiful animals, and it's going to occasionally rear its head at the worst possible moments on national television, which we've seen before. Fortunately, knock on wood, it hasn't happened in quite a while, but it's something that we're always on guard against. Yeah, it's not good.
And then dabbing.
I only say safer because we spoke with Jim Tressel, and he was talking about football, and he said that actually it's safer for people to play football than to not play football statistically.
He said that,
so
really?
Yeah. Basically, like 99% of concussions occur off the football field. So like, if you look at it that way, then it's a safe bet. The big news that I've heard this week is actually sudden breaking news. They found his balls. He's got testicles.
Yeah, they descended, believe it or not. How about that?
What a shock.
Wait,
what a shock. I know. They were there, and they weren't there, and then they're there.
Explain this. We need to hear an explanation of this. His balls just showed up?
Well, here's one. You really want to hear this? Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Okay. Well, there's geldings, okay, and that's a very PC horse racing way of saying castration. Okay. So sometimes with racehorses, if they are obstinate and they're extremely aggressive and they're not good enough to be a stud in the future, then to make them a better racehorse, to make their temperament better, they'll have them castrated. It's not a painful situation. There's a lot of pain killing stuff involved and all that. I'm sure the horse is not a big. Fan.
Yeah,
the horse is not a big fan, but they can run literally, you know, a couple of weeks after it happens. So, but there's also something in which, because of some sort of physical malformity, a horse has testicles, but they're up inside his body, and they were never formed properly, and they never actually descended and appeared like a normal horse would look. And
basically,
that was
like, they don't have a man card.
Yes, and that was the case with sudden breaking news. He had man cards, but nobody could see them. They were up inside. And so technically, he's not officially what they would call a gelding.
Does that
explain anything?
So is the horse transgender? Which bathroom is it going to use?
Whichever bathroom is the closest. In his case, he will use the bathroom in the same bed that he sleeps in.
So wait, was this actual news like that in the horse racing community? Okay. We just made a big deal out of it? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I want to close the circle on the whole testicle situation here. Are they still inside like the abdomen area, or have they descended?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. So he's playing possum with his nuts. I got it.
Right. And sometimes that can be uncomfortable for horses.
I would imagine.
When they race and they have to go in and do something, whatever. But in his case, it obviously hasn't bothered him because he's a pretty good horse.
All right, let's get to the actual race at hand. Exaggerator is obviously the favorite. What he was morning line, what, 9 to 5?
Yeah, he'll be lower than that. Yeah, he'll probably be even money, 4 to 5, something like that.
Actually, can I ask you, not to go back to the Preakness, but that moment where that bet was placed and the whole the odds went crazy, what ended up happening with that?
Well, it's a weird thing. The bet was made, okay, I think it was $80,000 to win.
Yeah, what was it on Stradivari? Yeah.
It was off track. It was at an off track outlet, and then just as oddly, it was canceled. So suddenly, you saw this huge impact, and Stradivari was 3 to 5 or 4 to 5, and we were all talking about it. And then we went away at a commercial break, and then we came back to start the regular Belmont telecast on NBC. And we showed the odds, and I'm like, oh, wait, these are the wrong odds. These are the wrong odds. These are the old odds. These are the program odds. Now Stradivari's 8 to 1. What happened? Well, the guy canceled the bet, which you can do. It's legal to do because it has to be legal. Because if you make a mistake, let's say you go up and you want to bet $80,000 to win on a horse, and you want to bet on the 4 horse, and instead you accidentally say the 6. Well, there has to be a vehicle for which you can take the ticket back before the race starts and say, hey, look, man, I screwed up. Let's switch this, or I want my money back, or whatever. So
that means that someone could just fuck with these big races anytime they want. They could go and place $100,000 on a horse and then just cancel it.
And that was one of the reasons why there were some eyebrows raised about that particular the size of that particular wager and the fact that it was made on a horse other than Nyquist or Exaggerator. The sort of the feeling within the industry was a curiosity as to whether it was an attempt to manipulate public opinion for or against certain other horses in the race in an attempt to get a higher price on the horse he really liked and then cancel the big bet. But
got it.
Anyway,
okay.
It was weird.
Something was afoot. All right, so let's go to the Belmont now. Tell us how this is obviously the longest. Tell us first what that does to the horses, and then tell us how you see this race, you know, going and how it's going to end up.
The fact that the Belmont Stakes is at 1.5 miles on dirt is a huge factor, It can't really be understated. And the reason is that horses in America are no longer bred to excel at 1.5 miles. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, if the horse that wins the Belmont Stakes, it's almost a disadvantage on his resume when he goes to stud that he's actually won at 1.5 miles, because there are so few races in America at 1.5 miles that some breeders will look at that and they'll say, well, why do I want to breed to a horse that, you know, his horses are best at 1.5 miles? So right now, it's such an anachronism in American horse racing, these 1.5 miles races, that the performances in the Belmont over the last maybe 10, 12 years have just fallen off the cliff. Even the winning performances are nowhere near as fast as performances in the Kentucky Derby or performances in the Preakness. It really becomes almost a crapshoot. Which horses are going to like the distance? The vast majority don't. And that's why the Belmont is also much more unpredictable than the Derby or the Preakness. We've seen some really oddball results in the Belmont Stakes. Last year, notwithstanding, that was an exception because American Pharoah was an exceptional horse. But it's just gotten to the point where regular handicapping rules just don't apply for the Belmont.
So that being said, can you handicap it for us?
tell us exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, that being said, here's the way I look at the Belmont, okay? If it was a normal race, if it wasn't 1.5 miles on dirt, if it was 1.75 miles, 1.25 miles, you look at the race on paper, you look at all the horses, and Exaggerator wins easy. Without Nyquist in there, California horses are better. Exaggerator's been dominant. He was dominant in the Preakness. You look at it and you say, well, he's got to win. The problem is that his price, he's going to be even money, 4 to 5. With the uncertainty running for the third time in 5 weeks in the Belmont, running at the mile and a half distance, it's not worth the risk. It's not worth the price. Especially now that in order to try to compensate for the problem that horses are having at a mile and a half, the fad thing now, and it's succeeded in 8 of the last 16 years, is for trainers to run in the Derby. If they lose, skip the Preakness and wait for the Belmont Stakes, hoping that that 5-week rest period will compensate for the shortcomings that horses have in their pedigree to run a mile and a half. And that's been working.
Okay.
That's the go-to plan for trainers nowadays. And so you got a horse, for example, like Destin, who ran in the Kentucky Derby, didn't have the best of trips, was totally out of his comfort zone the way the race was run. Todd Pletcher trains him. Now he gives him 5 weeks off, and he brings him back to the Belmont fresh. And I think that makes a horse like Destin a much better play than a horse like Exaggerator. As a matter of fact, I think the winner of the Belmont is going to be one of the two Todd Pletcher horses, either Destin or Stradivari. And I give Destin the advantage because he's had a 5-week rest period and Stradivari ran in the Preakness.
I love it. We're on it.
And are ya?
I loved, okay, by the way, for the Preakness, Lanny, not a great horse, probably the worst horse I've ever seen run. But you were right. That horse is a psycho.
He's a nutcase.
He was definitely nuts.
In a different way than sudden breaking news, by the way.
Yes, there you go. Exactly.
But he's getting better. He's getting better. Okay. He still needs an interpreter. He has to have an interpreter with him at all times.
Those Japanese horses.
But his Preakness was better than his Derby, and he's out there running 5 miles every morning, and a mile and a half shouldn't be a problem for him.
There we go. All right. Thank you so much. As always, we will talk to you hopefully NFL season and also for the Breeders' Cup.
Funny story real quick before we go.
Yeah.
I knew you guys were popular. I had no idea. I was at the Patriots a few weeks ago, and I ran into Chris Long. And Chris looked at me, and I'd never met him before. And he held his hand out and said, "Randy Moss." I said, "Yeah, Chris." And he said, "Pardon my take."
There we go.
Yes. I was on the very first one.
That's fantastic. That,
yeah, so, our first guest. Yeah. Him and Howie were our first guests.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have a lot of fans out there.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you because we are fans of yours, and we're trying to just get the we're trying to get some shine for the original Randy Moss.
It's working. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right, and I will. I'll text you on Saturday morning so I can get those pics from you that I'm not going to share. I didn't share them at the Preakness. People were mad.
You'll probably go up in flames this time, but I'll do my best.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We'll be in touch.
Take care, guys.
All right. Bye.
All right. So are you ready to start suing people?
I mean, I'm always ready for that. Yeah. Is there a way to get your own lawyer's degree? Like, I know that you can become a preacher just like with a $30 online payment and like a 2-second course. You can start marrying people.
Pass the bar, but
can I start suing people after I? Well, like, is there an app that I can use to become a lawyer?
The biggest takeaway we had from the Mike Portnoy interview is that we can hire him to sue people, and if he doesn't win for us, we can then sue him.
Yep.
So that's pretty much our plan. We're just going to sue people for the rest of our life. All right, let's do some segments. First one, PR 101. Cam Newton is retiring the dab.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, first of all, RIP thoughts and prayers to the dab. I mean, that was the dab's main spokesperson right there. So we need to figure out what Cam needs to do if he's not going to be dabbing. And he said he was on WFZN in Charlotte. And he said, "I have to put that aside and you'll have to wait until September to find out what I'm going to replace it with."
Ooh.
So like he's trying to build up a little mystery in the offseason, but I think we need to figure out a way that he can continue to like piss off old, white, stodgy letter writers who want to like complain to newspapers. We need to figure out a way for him to celebrate to like keep that brand going. My initial thought was it's been a while since we've had a professional athlete change their name and convert to Islam.
Ooh.
So like maybe Cameron
Muhammad?
Or, yeah, well, you got to change the first name too.
Oh.
Like it's got to be like Anwar Muhammad. And
I think you have to keep one of them if you're Cam. So Cameron Anwar.
Or Cam X. It could be just Cam X.
That's fantastic. That sells a lot of shirts. Here's Cam another X. one. What if he only gives touchdown footballs to black kids? And like, it will take a while for people to catch on, but you'll get to week 14 like, hey, Cam hasn't given a football to any white kids this year.
People would catch on by week 2.
Yeah, that's true.
Of the preseason.
I kind of like that one, too. Cam X handing only footballs to black kids would be – America would get hot.
Yeah, that would almost outdo the dab.
Yeah. What else did you have?
That's pretty much it. Just change the name and convert to Islam. Look back. We've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We've got Muhammad Ali. A conversion to Islam is batting 1,000% in professional sports.
So here's everything. Cameron X, converted to Islam, doesn't stand for the national anthem. His touchdown dance is to pray, and then he hands the ball to a black kid.
Love it.
I mean, there we go. All right. We also have, we have to mention, because PR 101 is basically the Johnny Manziel zone. He got served yesterday. I don't even know. I think this actually might be a good look because it's, I guess maybe he's being held accountable.
It's kind of a professional thing to like receive paperwork from somebody, right?
Right. He's got to. Maybe he's going to have to read something. So that's kind of cool. That's a step to recovery. Yeah.
They say you get like a wrinkle in your brain every time.
Yeah.
So like maybe that'll push like some of the coke out of his mind.
We should just start handing like pamphlets, easy to read pamphlets to Johnny Manziel, and he'll start having a comeback.
Just read more, dude. That's it. I love how the lawyer, or I guess like the agent of the court or whoever it was.
Yeah.
By the way, that's another sweet gig. Dude, just somebody who walks around handing papers to people.
That's the Super Bowl of that guy's life, though. To be able to hand it to Johnny Manziel in front of a club. I don't know why he didn't. I would have done like a little shuffle after. I would have maybe done a little dance.
Yeah.
You gotta kind of showboat a little bit when you're serving Johnny Manziel papers outside of a club.
Yeah, and I love his technique that he went to a bar and just waited for Johnny to come to him.
Yeah, basically he just went to any bar in L.A. or any club in L.A., and he's probably been at that club for the last 4 weeks. He's like, Johnny will eventually come here, and then he did.
Right, if I stay here, he'll show up eventually. If I keep moving around, that's how I have a chance at missing him.
Right.
You remember that dude? I think it was the Bucks in the lead-up to the draft with Justin Blackmon, where they sent one of their scouts to just hang out.
Yes, and he was at the bar every single day. Yes.
Yeah. What a great job that must have been, huh?
Yeah. Just go and drink and watch a guy drink.
I'd like to offer my services that if there are any teams out there that are concerned, like maybe some of these new guys on Clemson are partying too much and you're not sure whether or not you want to draft them, send me to South Carolina.
Pardon my take.
We'll hang out in a bar for like 2 weeks and we will tell you every single athlete that walks in. Deshaun Watson, if he spends like more than 2 nights at that bar, we will let you know.
You'll know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. We're all over that.
That's our job. What do we have? Oh, we have witch hunt for Sharapova, which I don't know how we're going to witch hunt her when she has just been banned 2 years for taking steroids. And that's a no-no in women's tennis. People forget that.
Yeah, so you can't take steroids. And my witch hunt is actually going to be, I think that this proves without a doubt that Serena Williams has been using PEDs because Sharapova is 2-19 against Serena Williams while Sharapova was taking PEDs.
How much does that suck to be like, you can't beat someone even though you're taking steroids, which I don't even know. She said that it was a heart medication or something, which is, come on.
Mm-hmm.
We all know. It's like when a Major League Baseball player issues a statement and said, I follow the letter of the law. I'm very careful. I drank a smoothie from, you know, Dairy Queen last week. It happened to have something in it that is banned by Major League Baseball. Not to point fingers. I need to be smarter. But that Dairy Queen smoothie somehow had HGH in it.
Yeah. No, I actually love those explanations because you have to keep getting more creative with it. Remember when Cushing said, actually, guys, I thought I had cancer, so that's why I took the that fertility drug. So you're being a real dick to me. A cancer, an almost cancer
almost
survivor.
Cancer, right.
But I think, it was medicine for her heart. She had a broken heart. She broke up with her boyfriend not too long ago. He's a tennis player too. Dimitrov. I Googled it.
Holy shit.
So like,
you know way too much about this.
She's getting through some tough times. So like, let her take some heart medicine. But I think what it really points to is the fact that Serena Williams obviously had to be taking PEDs if she was able to beat Sharapova this badly and this consistently.
It's simple as that. It makes sense. 1 + 1 = 2. Don't look any farther.
I'm not afraid to go there.
Easiest witch hunt we've ever had. Quick spin zone, Trent Richardson. Trent Richardson thinks he's going to the Hall of Fame. He said Richardson, he's one of six running backs trying to make the Ravens squad, feels his experience has chastened him. He's ready to fulfill his potential with a Hall of Fame career. Quote, putting on a yellow jacket, people wrote him off. He came back and did some amazing things. He always had the pedigree. He just had to get back to the guy that we know. Well, the guy we know is like 2.5 yards a carry. So I don't know. I guess I don't even remember Trent Richardson when he was good. It's been so long. But this is a nice spin zone because he's so bad and he's such a joke and he's one of the biggest busts, first round busts ever. Just go all the way and be like, hey, man, I'm going to the Hall of Fame someday, so you better get on right now. I kind of like this.
Well, what he's doing, he's a penny stock right now.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, buy a lot of me. It's very low risk. Like, who's going to really remember in 10 years if, like, Richardson doesn't make the Hall of Fame? Nobody's going to be like, he said he was going to be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
But if he calls a shot right now and he hits it.
Right.
Wow. That would be something else. Also, it would take a shitload of steroids for him to do it.
Right.
We can pre-winch. Okay, here we go. Pre-crime, Trent Richardson is going to be using steroids.
I'd say it's a fair assumption.
He hasn't yet. He obviously has not taken any performance-enhancing drugs. I've never been more sure of anything in my life. But
he might be
like
on some psychedelics to be having these quotes, but he hasn't been taking PEDs.
Right. Now here's the thing. Do you get a jacket when you go into the College Hall of Fame?
Oh, okay.
Maybe he was talking about the College Football Hall of Fame, in which case, like, that's not that far off.
Here's another spin zone. He doesn't go to the Hall of Fame because he sucks, and we all know he sucks, and he's probably not going to make the Ravens squad. But in, like, 10 years, that's a pretty funny commercial to, you know, put on the fake yellow jacket. Maybe you're selling, like, Men's Warehouse or something, or uh-huh. Joseph A. Banks. Trent Richardson finally putting on the yellow jacket. We'll replay these quotes. He just got himself a nice paycheck in a decade with a pretty funny ad.
Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, like, okay, from now until pretty much the day he dies, if you want to get him a gag gift for his birthday or something, just go to, like, Goodwill, pick up a yellow jacket and send it to him. Boom. Done. Lots of laughs.
Done. All right. We have a quick Olympic update. One of the Olympians has frozen his sperm because he's afraid of the Zika virus. I want to take his man card, but, I mean, he just froze it.
Yeah, I'm actually considering doing the same just because I'm, for one, like, don't like to waste anything. I'm, you know, kind of a child of the Depression that way. So I like to save, and just, it sounds like a lot of fun. Like, just me, that's a nice little afternoon trip to the sperm bank. Be like, hey, I'm horny, want a J-O, might as well just hang on to it for future use, just in case Zika.
It also, I mean, it's kind of a brag to be like, my sperm's somewhere frozen. I mean, it's just, you know, it feels a little braggy, doesn't it?
To be like, I successfully jerked off. Yeah. That's a little bit braggy.
Yeah, it's a little braggy. So I don't know. I mean, you're an Olympian. Just chill out, man. No one cares about you. You're going to be in the public eye for 2 weeks, and then you're going to go back to working at Home Depot.
Also, if I was his coach, I would consider cutting him because, like, you can't – they always tell you don't have sex, don't jerk off before an important event. Like, right now, if you're an Olympian, you should not be masturbating. Yeah. Now is the time where you need to be storing up these reserves of testosterone for the next, like, 5 months. You're competing for your country here, okay? The American flag is not a jizz rag, so keep it in your pants.
That's a quote right there. lastly, hurt or injured. Tommy Lasorda, he kind of died on air this week. I don't know if you saw, though, I also put out a blog. He was at the spa today in New York City. He had, like, five people working on him. It looked like the pit crew at Indy 500. They had people working on his hands and his feet. He was getting everything.
That sounds like something, like, an actual undertaker would be
doing.
Well,
I was going to say, is it the mortician being like, you know what? It's a lot of work to deal with these dead bodies. Why don't we just beauty up Tommy Lasorda because he's going to die soon?
It's like a cheap option. Like getting the cleaning in before he dies. Yeah.
Right, right. So hurt or injured Tommy Lasorda. This bums me out. You say I don't want to talk about it. I love Tommy. Tommy's my guy.
I'd say he's hurt. He's still, we're told that he's alive. And so, like, how bad could it be? But I think what we're on to is something like a really good idea here. Instead of, like, in any reputable hospice service, one of the last things that they should do is, like, just take you out and pamper you, give you a massage, give you a haircut, wax your eyebrows, trim your nails. And they'll just tell you, like, this is just to make you feel special.
Yeah, we're just your special day, right.
It's a major time saver on the other end. After you die, you don't have to go through all that
stuff. So basically you're saying, you know, when your dog passes away and you take your dog, you know, give it a steak and have one last day, you're basically saying do that for humans.
Do that for humans, and it also serves
– two birds with one stone.
More importantly, like, it saves a lot of time for the mortician later.
I think that we just created a million-dollar business idea.
I think we did too.
I mean,
your special last day.
No one likes to deal with dead bodies. Boom. So beauty them up before they die.
If I'm about to die, I'm going to shoot up on a mega dose of heroin and just like call a hooker over.
And then call the spa.
95 years old. Yeah. Just that. Well, probably I'll probably purposely overdose on heroin if I'm going to die anyways. Like, what a great way to go that must be, huh?
I don't know about that. All right. Jimbo's.
Yeah, let's do some Jimbo's.
Hank, what do we got?
Tried to talk shit about my coworker behind his back to a work friend on GChat. Accidentally sent it directly to him.
Oh, There's nothing like scarier than doing that. The text to the wrong person, the GChat to the wrong person. I don't even know what you do. I mean, you just got to, I guess it's back to our old tip. Just say ha-ha at the end and hope that they think you're joking.
Yeah, and this never used to happen back in the day, like before the internet. All you would just do, like, you could not hand write a letter to somebody talking shit and address it to the wrong person. Because it's so easy to do now, all you have to do is just press a button, then people fuck up all the time. So yeah, I would count that as a Jimbo, but it's also a learning experience because I guarantee you that guy will never do that again.
Yep, and it's a new age Jimbo, so it's really not your fault. It's more a sign of the times.
It's technology, yeah.
Was at my girlfriend's house and walked in on her mom taking a shit. And she said in the nicest voice, "That's okay, John. Don't worry about it."
Oh, man.
That's such a classic mom move, too. Because, like, she's changed diapers. She's been around shit for the last, like, 30 years. So to her, it's just like she might as well just be caught sneezing.
I don't even know what you do with that, Jimbo. I mean, I think you got to break. Wait, is the girlfriend's mom? Yeah, you got to break up with her. Honestly,
because if she shits, then chances are pretty high that the daughter shits.
Yeah,
too.
Like right, like we say, everyone always says your mom. You know, you're dating a girl, and the mom is like a look into the future. Well, guess what, buddy? Your girlfriend, when she gets older, she's gonna start pooping.
My roommate was sending a Venmo payment, and as a joke, titled it "For ISIS." His payment is now under review and pending until further notice.
What?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I, as a person who used to write a lot of really shitty things on the memo line to like my landlord's checks back in the day, the one thing that I always made sure to steer clear of was any mention of Al-Qaeda on the memo line.
I think that one's going to put you on a few lists.
Yeah. So this is a major Jimbo, but this is also a really good story. And if you're lucky, it's going to get held up permanently and you're never going to have to pay your buddy.
Spin zone. All right, my buddy was drunk and started eating a small ice cream cup. Said it tasted meaty. Turns out it was ice cream for dogs, and he still finished it.
Oh, well, I mean, I would hope that he finished it in a way that he owned it. Like, it's not that bad, guys. I'll just finish it. But that's a tough one because I'm pretty sure ice cream for dogs has no taste and is terrible.
Yeah. I would say the major Jimbo would be if you said, oh, gross, it's ice cream for dogs, and then you didn't finish it.
Right, you got to just pretend like, oh, you guys don't eat ice cream for dogs.
Yeah, you shouldn't be above ice cream for dogs.
Right, it's the newest trend. Remember planking? Now we do ice cream for dogs.
By the way, do we really need ice cream for dogs?
Like, yes, absolutely. Your dog doesn't
give a shit if something is hot or cold.
Well, I actually give Stella real ice cream, so I don't know why you need ice cream for dogs. Like, I'll just, if I have vanilla ice cream, I'll give her some.
It seems a little disrespectful to dogs to, like, make them – like, what are we going to do? Like, give them a separate water fountain next?
Separate but equal.
This guy's 30 years old, and he got drunk on a Wednesday. That's it.
That actually is a huge Jimbo. That's actually, when you actually think about it, that's the worst Jimbo that we've had. I've had that happen to me. There's nothing worse than you get caught on that weekday drunk, and it ruins basically
the rest of your week.
Yeah, month. I was gonna say, but yeah, week for sure. It puts you behind a few.
Because I mean, you get drunk on Wednesday, you can't do all the shit that you need to do on Wednesday. Then Thursday, you're hungover all day.
Yep.
And then on Friday, you're like, oh my god, now I've got all this work from Wednesday and Thursday that I missed that I have to.
And no one works on Friday.
Nobody works on Friday, so you can't get in touch with anybody. And so then that goes in the weekend. You can't enjoy your weekend correctly.
Well, you do. You do enjoy your weekend correctly because you're like, fuck it, all I can do is get drunk. And then you're hungover again on Monday, so you don't do anything on Monday. So you're looking at Tuesday now for when you're getting around to the work you're supposed to do.
Yeah, just as a matter of fact, if you're in that situation, if you get drunk on that Wednesday, go ahead and call in sick on that Monday.
Yeah.
And then you can like catch up on everything on Tuesday.
There is nothing worse though than being over, I don't know, like 27, 28, going out to dinner or like maybe going to a bar on a weeknight and not realizing that you got drunk and then going home and be like, oh fuck, I did it again. I'm drunk.
Sometimes you don't even realize until the next morning how drunk you were last night.
You could also just go into work the next day and just say that someone must have put something in your drink.
Yeah.
Hank, you got a Jimbo?
Yeah, I think I gave my landlord a heart attack.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This
like, actually?
Well, so he was – when I was moving out, there was a little dispute about, like, the cleanliness of my apartment or whatever. And he was drunk and sending me some pretty rude emails. And so I instead of just, like, being moved out, I fired back. And then he got more fired up. And I texted, like, my roommate, who was also this guy's nephew. And I was like, I think he's going to have a heart attack. Fast forward to 2 days, and he was in the hospital for a heart attack. So I don't know if that was my fault, but
Hank gave a guy a heart attack.
Hank, that was definitely your fault.
I like how that was a casual Jimbo, and then when he explained it, it's like, oh, wait, no, you actually gave a guy a heart attack.
Hank's like, so this week I'm moving out, kind of sucks. My place is really messy, and I killed a guy.
Whoops, killed a guy. How do you follow that?
Did you send him flowers? I feel like you have to send him flowers.
Yeah, send him some flowers. Also, Hank has a Jimbo. That's not even – Hank has a couple Jimbos. So killing a guy is obviously the number one Jimbo. Hank also has been Jimboing the finals. He's been falling asleep during the finals. And yeah, there's been a couple times where we tried to do the show after a game. And Hank – we almost called his house, you know, his parents' house, being like, where's Hank at midnight?
At 1 a.m.
Yeah. So couple Jimbos this week. But you know what? Falling asleep to tape a podcast isn't that big of a deal when you kill the guy. Fly spin zone for Hank.
My Jimbo this week, so I'm packing up all my shit, moving out of the house, moving up to New York next week. And
real windy here. They call it the Windy City.
So what I'm doing is I'm making like 8 trips to Home Depot, and I'm not a home improvement guy. I try to be. I watch a lot of Mark Schlereth YouTube man law stuff where he teaches you how to be a man. So I go to Home Depot and I'm trying to buy nails. That's all I need. And I'm wheeling around the store and I can't find nails in Home Depot. Like, I feel like this is a Jimbo / man card
situation.
You got
to just ask them at Home Depot.
No, because I didn't. You know, the guys that work at Home Depot take home improvement really seriously. And I didn't want to go up to them and be like, excuse me, where are your nails? Like, that's the one thing I should be able to find. I was getting passed by like people with dogs and their shopping carts. So it took me about 45 minutes at Home Depot to buy one thing of nails.
Home Depot's daunting though. I get very intimidated by Home Depot.
Yeah, it's not a very friendly place for now. There should be like a JV Home Depot for guys that have never done home improvements in their life like me, where they just somebody physically grabs your hand the second you walk into the store, and then they walk you from aisle to aisle pointing things out.
My Jimbo is I, for some reason, I'm the only one who like is very, very scared of spending money on the company dime. And I got us a hotel room in New York that was like the smallest room of all time for 3 people. And it was like a hotel for ants. So what's the nickname you gave me? Danny Coupon?
Coupon Cats.
Coupon Cats. So the funny thing is I like throw my own money around, probably mm-hmm. too much. But then when it comes to the churning money, I pinch it a little, and then we end up in like a rat hole.
With Danny Discount.
Danny Discount with single bet. So Hank was very upset at me last night.
Well, I bet because you were probably blasting that, that
fan
app that you had.
Oh, we actually have some breaking news.
Okay.
I've converted Hank. He's a fan guy now. He downloaded the app.
Hank, did you sell out?
You went to the dark side? It was like 3 days later, and I was in a super hot room with like no fan or anything. So I was like, oh, fuck. Well, I might as well download the app.
Wait.
You're confusing
your senses here.
No, you felt hot,
so you downloaded an app that sounded like a fan.
Yeah, obviously I knew it wasn't going to blow
okay,
air.
Good.
But
that was going to be – no, killing the guy was actually still going to be your number one Jimbo, but that would have been number two. All right, that is the show. We have two huge guests next week, Wednesday and Friday. We're working on someone for Monday. But get excited. It's going to be a great week. And we will talk to you after. We'll see what goes on with the finals, Game 4, Game 5, and also hopefully Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals or the first pictures
parade
of Phil Kessel. Choose your own adventure.
I'm just going to say right now, our guest next week that we have already.
Wednesday, we already taped the interview.
We did? It's
Jacob.
Presented by Barstool Sports.